The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. Yes, with me, your host, Kevin Turley, coming to you live today on Archangel Radio across southern Alabama, blasting out on 1410 AM and 94.5 FM, and of course at thearchangelradio.com and on the mobile app and all the rest of it. And you heard the bagpipes there in the background because we've just had Bishop John Keenan on from Scotland. Wasn't that great? This is the wonderful thing about radio, you know. We can have people from Scotland with people from London and people from Alabama all together for the morning, just having a cup of coffee together. Now, what we do now is we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we will be praying for you if you're listening. That's absolutely a given. Whether you're in a traffic jam or whether you're walking down the street, exercising with a pair of headphones on, or walking the dog, or washing up after breakfast, or maybe you're in a hospital bed somewhere and you're listening to me speaking to you this morning. Maybe you're about to go in for an operation. Well, we're praying for you wherever you are. If you're listening to this broadcast, then you are in our prayers. That's all I can say. And each day we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. The Divine Mercy Chaplet is a prayer which originated in Poland in the 1930s when our Lord appeared to Saint Faustina. And the prayer has had a troubled path, which is probably a good sign, but is now something very much at the center of Catholic life and at the church life, and something, it seems to be a devotion which continues to grow at an exponential rate. I keep meeting people who've discovered it and who are benefiting from it, and it's extremely powerful prayer, as any of our prayer warriors will tell you when they come here. So I pray it, but also I pray each day with a number of prayer warriors who come in often from Mobile in person into the studio, or they come from across the Archdiocese via telephone link up. So let's meet our prayer warriors today. So I turn to Reed and I say, Reed, do we have any prayer warriors who fit the bill today?
We sure do, Kevin. We have Mr. Dave LeJay here with us in the studio.
Dave, welcome to the show, or welcome back to the show, I should say.
Yes. Good morning, Kevin. Good to be with you again.
How are you doing, Dave?
I'm well. I'm very well. Good. I'm blessed. Good. Very blessed.
Well, that's the spirit. That's the right spirit. Did you hear that nice interview with Bishop John?
Yes, I listened to part of it on the way driving here to the studio this morning. He's got quite a brogue, huh? He seems like an incredible bishop.
Yes, I'm going to tell the story time I'm going to tell about when I visited Bishop John up in Scotland, stayed with him with a film crew. And I have to say, what you hear is what you get. What you see is what you get. He is just a very good, humble shepherd of his flock, and also good fun. Very good fun. Well, Dave, it's great to have you back riding shotgun with me today on this. We are going to be praying all sorts of prayers for different people. We've already got a number of requests in, so I will read those out as we go along. But just one last reminder. Dave and I are here. We're going to be praying now for you. But if you'd like us to pray for anything specific, then you can text us on 251-928-2111, or you can phone in and speak to us. Dave will translate me for you if that is an issue. 888-928-0881. Okay. So, Dave, shall we begin?
Yes. Let's do. Let's go. Allah is the.
In the name of the Father. Sorry?
No. That's all right.
Are you there? Okay.
I'm here.
Have you got your rosary beads with you, Dave? That's the main thing.
Yes, I have my rosary. I have my beads.
You know what? I don't know about you, but I never go anywhere without a set of rosary beads.
Yeah, I carry them with me all the time now.
Me too. I am always armed and dangerous every day. Set of rosary beads and I'm ready.
Yes, I love the rosary.
Absolutely. Okay, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
O blood and water, which gushed forth
from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us. I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of his mercy.
I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so for this first decade, Dave, who or what have you brought?
I like to pray for my wife, Jane. She's having a CT scan later today around noon. Also, as in the past, for my nephew, Chris, who's still suffering with back pains and who has to endure a lot of pain. Also, there are a lot of folks, I've become aware of a lot of folks, and I'm sure you are as well, who have children, family that's away from the church, and it's difficult for them to see their children, not to be away from Holy Mother Church. So I'd like to pray for their children and for their families, and mine as well.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful intention, Dave. Yeah,
to return to Holy Mother Church.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, as I've said before, I might have even said it when you were here last, Dave. I mean, this is a constant theme during this time of prayer, that parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, they're all praying for the next generations coming along, that they will be given the gift of faith and they will be confirmed in that gift of faith. So we definitely pray for that. And for anybody listening, if you're worried about your children or your grandchildren or your nephews or your nieces, they're all included in this prayer. We pray especially as well for your wife, Jane. Dave, that sounds like a pretty serious business when you go for a CT scan. Is your wife worried about it?
Not too much. There's some concern. She's having some abdominal problems, and they can't seem to find the root cause, but hopefully it won't be too serious. We're hoping it's not going to be serious.
Well, we pray that the CT scan clears things up today, that the results will be good, that there'll be no problems, and that Jane and you will have a peace of mind about those pains. And obviously we pray for Chris, your nephew, and his back pains. I think I remember that from the last time you were here, Dave. So is Chris in a lot of pain? I mean, is he able to sleep?
he's able to sleep. He takes muscle relaxers and and pain pills from time to time. And there are procedures that they conduct on him, but he doesn't seem to have a relief. You know, the pain always comes back.
Okay. Well, look, let's lift him up, and Jane as well, obviously, and all the children away from the church, and any children that are on your mind, Dave, that you know in particular. Let's say this first decade for all these intentions.
Okay.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave. Now I'm just going to go to the texts. And we have a text from Louise. Good morning to you, Louise. And Louise is asking for prayers for my dear friend's nephew, Tyler, who's 32 years old, and poor Tyler was found unconscious this morning by his wife. Apparently, Tyler had a heart attack. The doctors can fix the heart issues, but don't know how long his brain was deprived of oxygen. So we need to pray this morning that the doctors are not only able to fix the heart, but also have some good news for Tyler's wife about the time that his brain was deprived of oxygen. Louise, thank you very much for bringing this to us this morning and allowing us to pray with you for Tyler and his wife. And we also pray for you, Louise, and for your family. I think that's a pretty important intention for the second decade, Dave.
Yes, it is.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave. Now, there was somebody who texted in while Bishop John was on the air and had a number of questions for him. And I apologize to you, texter. It's an anonymous text. I didn't get round to asking your questions, and I apologize for that. But I'd like to pray for you, the anonymous texter. I think your son had a lovely time when he came to Britain, and especially in Scotland when he visited. So we'll pray for you and your family. And I'd also like to offer this decade up for Bishop John and for all the bishops of the church and the Archbishop of Mobile, Bishop Rudy. And I would like to pray for all the bishops, the Pope, bishops, cardinals, that they may be given the Holy Spirit at this time, that they may see the truth of their faith in all its dimensions, and that they will shepherd the flock truly and not act in any way like a hireling. So we pray for all our bishops this morning. Yeah.
We have a caller with an intention. I'll go ahead and put you through to him now.
Thank you very much, Reed. Hello, you're through to the Divine Mercy Chaplet on Archangel Radio.
Hello, I have a three prayer intentions.
Wonderful. Well, what's your name, first of all?
My name is Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, welcome on board. Good to hear
your voice.
Mary Lou, how can we pray for you?
We have someone having a surgery today. Her name is Brandy. And she has some issues with her spinal fluid, and they're trying to correct that today. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, my husband Joe is having a heart catheterization, so prayers for him. And a friend of mine is having surgery tomorrow. Her name is Mary. Would love to pray for all three of them.
Well, you've got it, Mary Lou. You've absolutely got
Thank
it. That's,
you.
That's why we're here. So that's wonderful. May I ask, Mary Lou, are these all in the Fairhope Mobile area, or are they further afield?
Yes, they're all in Fairhope Mobile.
Wonderful. Well, we shall pray for Brandy, for Joe, and for Mary, and we'll also pray for you, Mary Lou, any intentions that you have said or unsaid today, and for your needs. And
Perfect.
Also for peace
Thank
of
you.
Mind, peace of heart at this time. There's a lot going on in your life and a lot of people needing your prayers, so we pray for you as well.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary Lou, and do call again.
Will do. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, Dave, I think we're completely loaded up for this one.
Yes. Well,
that's Brandy, Brandy today with surgery. We got Joe with surgery coming up, and Mary as well. So, yeah. And we'll also pray for Mary Lou.
Yes,
and thank
Mary
you again,
is a,
Mary Lou.
Mary is a member of the St. Vincent Society here.
And oh, wonderful.
Works the pantry and other areas. Wonderful. And I know Joe too. He's very active in the radio station.
Great. Well, we pray for them. That's why we're here. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave. Now, tomorrow I'm very conscious that it is the pro-life march in Mobile, unless I'm mistaken. So I'd like to pray for that this morning, for everybody taking part, for everybody who organized it, and that it will be a peaceful witness to the value and meaning of life to the wider community in downtown Mobile. Dave, I'm going to come to you again for this third decade. Is there anything else or anyone else that you'd like us to pray for?
Let's see. Oh, what comes to mind, Kevin, are cancer sufferers and survivors.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned before that my wife had breast cancer.
Yeah.
And we know there are many friends and family. My sister had breast cancer as well. So, that's something that's always it's always in our minds.
Mm-hmm. I think it's something which is so prevalent, Dave. It's touched every single family that I know. We've got a very wide net when we're praying for cancer sufferers and survivors. And absolutely. And also, which parish are you in, Dave?
St. Lawrence.
Okay, so if there's anybody in particular, you don't have to voice it, but anybody in particular you can think of in St. Lawrence in the community there that needs our prayers at this time, they may be undergoing chemo or some such.
Let's see. There are several folks who are who would be good to pray for. You know, who either have health issues or grow in the faith. And, there are a lot of stresses on us with the faith, and I think if we, I hear that a bit, that more prayer and pleadings with the Lord to help us in these trying times. So.
Well, you heard Bishop John give us all the antidote. The antidote is to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and pour our hearts out.
Yes, we have a 24/7 chapel in Daphne, which is about 10 miles away, and there are many St. Lawrence parishioners who go there. Jane and I go twice a week, and we're blessed to be there. It's a tremendous blessing to be there with the Lord, to think that, you know, our Lord and Savior, He's there waiting for us. You know, us. You know, He's there. The King, huh? Our King.
Absolutely.
And welcomes Absolutely. Us. You know, just humans. So it's amazing when you think of that you can be that you can spend time with there, and He's waiting for you.
He
Not very many people around the world, you know, wait for you and look forward to seeing you, huh?
Absolutely. Well, look, Dave, we'll pray this third decade then for all those intentions. We'll pray for St. Lawrence and the community there. We'll pray for everybody who attends or has ever attended the Adoration Chapel that you mentioned in Daphne. We'll pray for all cancer sufferers and survivors. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave. I'm going to come quickly to Mike. Mike, is there anybody or anything you'd like us to pray for in this fourth decade?
Hey, Mike is outside the studio. He's manning the phone right now.
Okay.
But I would love to pray for the Knights of Columbus organization at the Archdiocese of Mobile.
Wonderful. That's a good intention, Reed. Let's pray for those good men now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much. So is Mike come back, Reed, or is it just you?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Just
okay,
me.
Not to worry. Not to worry. Dave, in which case we don't have any requests in, so I'm going to throw this back to you for one last time. Just any one or two people that just come to mind that you'd like to pray for?
Let's see. Can I just pray for those? There are quite a few folks that we've heard of that are suffering. Oh, you know what? What comes to mind? How about the holy souls in purgatory?
Perfect.
That just came into my head, and so our families, especially our departed families.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful intention, Dave.
And also there are several parishioners that I know of, and there may be more, but who are suffering with dementia, Alzheimer's.
Yes, for them. I think. And also I think we'll pray for those who look after people who suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's, because that can be it's a condition which is shared with whoever's around you, really, essentially, isn't it?
Yes, right.
Okay, I think that's a great intention. So we pray for the holy souls, especially anybody who we've known recently who's died. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray for those who are suffering from dementia and that sort of thing, Alzheimer's or whatever it is these days. And we pray for those that look after them, those that care for them, those that have to be very patient with those people at all times. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude, Dave. Holy God.
Holy mighty one.
Holy immortal one. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God. Holy mighty one.
Holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
And then we conclude, Dave, O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Dave, for coming in. Do come back.
Yes, I sure will. Thank you, Kevin, for all that you do and for all your prayers.
And keep us posted on Jane today. We want to know, okay? Let us know tomorrow how it went.
Yes, I'll get with Mike or Reed. I'll send them a text message.
Wonderful.
How's that? And they can share. Hopefully this afternoon I'll send them, and then they can pass that on to you tomorrow.
That'll be great. We'd love to.
We'll be praying.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you, Kevin.
God bless you. When we come back, we're going to be talking a Scottish adventure which starts out at the home of Bishop John Keenan. Back after these words. here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio, and I do hope you're enjoying your morning, whatever you're doing. And thank you so much for taking the time to accompany us here on Archangel Radio and allowing us to be part of your life, whether it's talking about diets or interviewing bishops or praying together or telling stories together. We are very, very privileged to be allowed into your life wherever you are, whether you're driving, sitting, walking, talking, lying down, standing up, swimming. It doesn't matter. We're with you in all of that. That's the beauty of radio, the great intimacy of radio, that we can be wherever you are. Which makes me wonder, Reed, what did you think of Bishop John?
I thought that was fascinating, Kevin.
He's a very interesting man, isn't he?
I thought you had some good questions for him, is it what you expected when you became a bishop? You know, that's something that, you know, when we think of a bishop, it's like, you know, kind of what the job is when you go in, I guess. So I thought that was an interesting question and answer from him.
Well, I suppose I could ask you the same question, Reed. I mean, is being one of the producers on the Turley Frequency what you expected?
I would say that it mostly is. There's a lot of it's more exciting than I expected it to be honest, because I'm getting to talk on the radio and give my input a little bit more than I expected to be, but I'm enjoying it a lot.
Are you getting any reaction to that? Are people coming up to you and saying, hey, you're Reed off the Turley Frequency?
At the radio station, they are.
Well, give it time. Give it time, Reed. You know, they might say, I know your voice. When you go into a restaurant, you order, they'll say, don't I know you? I know your voice. Mike gets that all the time with LA Catholic Morning because they're on Facebook, so he's always getting stopped in the street, I would imagine, and pestered, autographs and things. But we shall see. We better go story time this way, and the story begins in Scotland at Bishop John's residence. So shall we play the music, Reed, and let the curtain rise on the latest story time. So, welcome to story time here on the Turley Frequency. That music always puts me in a good mood. It reminds me of going to the cinema as a child, to the movie theatre, and sitting in the front row with my popcorn, my drink, and getting all excited when the lights went down, the music started, and bang, you were off into this imaginary world. Well, I want to do something similar with you. I want to take you to an imaginary world through the power of our imaginations. And I want you to think of a keep-out sign, a very brutal-looking keep-out sign with a sort of skulls either side of it. And I want you to picture that sign standing in the middle of a very remote Scottish forest. And I want you to think of that sign being part of very broad iron gates, stainless steel gates maybe. And in the distance, a very, very strange building. What was that building? What was its story? Well, let's begin at the beginning. So a few years ago, I was in Scotland and I was doing some filming with a film crew. And, you know, film crews consist, in this case, it consisted of a cameraman, director and another cameraman and me. And I was the on-camera person. So I was the person who would be speaking to the camera, detailing different things. And I would do different interviews with different people and also bits and bobs around the Scottish Central Belt, which is basically Glasgow and Edinburgh. And believe it or not, the place that we all were staying was in Bishop John's residence. Being a bishop, he has a very large residence, and Bishop John is extremely generous, and he allowed us to stay there for free. Yeah, come and stay. And we had complete run of the house and, you know, his nice quarters and all the rest. And we, in the evening when he would come home from work after we'd come back from filming, we would all sit around and chat. And he was just as you heard on the radio, good fun, down to earth, full of amusing stories and very generous as a host. Now, as I say, we'd been up there filming various people and things, and I interviewed, I don't know how many bishops in that journey. It was a lot of bishops. I interviewed almost all the Scottish bishops in that one trip. But we were coming to the end of it, and it was a Sunday, I think, when we weren't due to be filming anything else. And I said to the director, I said, I have an idea. And at that point, he went very pale, because he knows that I have lots of ideas, and they often involve filming things that he would rather not be filming. So he says, so he's only joking. Of course he wanted to film things. So I said, I've got this idea of this place I'd like us to go and visit. It's not very far away, and there may be a way in which we can make a film about it. So it was Sunday, we'd been to Mass. It's a beautiful sunny day. He said, why not? Let's do it. Let's try. So we packed up the car with all our equipment. And you know, when you're filming, unlike radio, filming is an absolute bore when it comes to equipment, all right? You can't go anywhere without at least six cameras and tripods and batteries and sound equipment and light meters and on it goes. So you need quite a large vehicle to travel around. So we piled it all into the back of this very large automobile and headed off from Bishop John's. Bishop John was out for the day. I forget where he was. He wasn't around. And so we drove through some very beautiful Scottish countryside and then over one of the great rivers, one of the great bridges over the River Clyde to the far bank. And we kept heading up and I kept saying, it's this way, it's this way, it's this way, just following the signs. And we came to the town of Cardross. And then we had to ask directions, you know, like in the best films where you get to the small town and you have to say, I've heard of this place. Is it which direction? And somebody would say, it's over that way. I think it's over that way. So we drove as far as we could. And then we had to park the car, get out, get all the equipment out, put it all on our backs and start to walk through a very, very dense forest. Now, we walked for quite a distance, and it was very, very hot, I remember, that day, which was unusual for Scotland. And the first time I knew we were getting close to it was because we kept seeing signs like, no trespassing, keep out, don't go any further. But then I could see in the distance this building, but it was, there was a kind of almost like a moat around it, right? There was almost like a river or a passageway of water that had been created so that people wouldn't be able to get to it, because the only bridge across that river was completely barricaded up, right? Just imagine it, full of not just one barrier, but two, a barrier at the start of the bridge and a barrier at the far side. And the sides of the bridge were also barricaded in a way to stop people from crawling into the bridge and getting over to the far side. So, with the three of us, with all our equipment confronted with this, there was only one thing we were going to do. We were going to cross the river somehow. And we did. We managed to find a little piece where we could get through the various fences down to the waterway and then across the bridge to the far side. And then suddenly things began to change again. We immediately saw the building that we were heading for. And I will tell you what that is in just a second. But we had to go another sort of passageway round to another set of gates. And that's where that massive keep out sign was that I was telling you about. And it was graffitied and it was sort of, it looked very sort of dystopian. Do you know what I mean by that? Dystopian. It was like we had suddenly gone from a beautiful Scottish sunny day to the heart of a very, very thickly layered forest, to something that looked like a science fiction movie set with its barbed wire and fences protecting what appeared to be a derelict building. So we looked at the huge fence, and what did we do? I turned to our director and said, there's only one thing we can do. And he said, what's that? And I said, get the camera rolling. I'm going over. So he did. And there's footage of this, of me starting to climb up this fence and then climb over it and drop down the other side. And they had to do likewise, right? They had to do likewise. So the three of us managed to penetrate into the inner sanctum of this strange place. So what was this place? Well, I better tell you what it was. You see, the town of Cardross is a very small town on the fringes, about 20 or 30 miles outside Glasgow, but it's on the edge of a very large forest. And in the center of the forest was a deserted building, which was very modernist in its look, right? If you know what brutalist architecture is, you'll know what it looks like. It's a cross between a kind of car parking lot, very high rise, and a sort of atomic generator, a nuclear station of some sort in Chernobyl. It's a sort of cross between those two things, right? But this building in its history was then the ruins of a seminary. That's right. It was once a seminary called St. Peter's. And this seminary had been largely abandoned since 1980, when the last seminarians had left. And yet, and here's the funny thing, the construction of St. Peter's, of that seminary, had only been completed in the 1960s. You see, construction upon it had begun at a time when the church was experiencing a vocations boom throughout the 1950s and early 1960s. And the church in Scotland, as elsewhere, was fully expecting this trend, the trend of a vocations boom, to continue right into the future. Now, at the same time in the 1950s, the Catholic population of Scotland, particularly the Catholic population of nearby Glasgow, was growing significantly. So what you had were expanding congregations needing more and more Catholic churches and more priests from seminaries, such as St. Peter's, to service them. That was the anticipated future, a growing church, both in terms of parish, parishioners, and priests. So why did they build this seminary in the middle of this forest? Good question. Well, the new seminary's build came about because of a natural disaster. You see, on that site many years previously, there had been a seminary, much smaller, much more traditional looking. But a fire in 1946 had completely gutted the building and destroyed it. In 1958, the then Archbishop of Glasgow, Donald Cammell, commissioned the building of a new seminary in what was then known as Killamew House, which again was a very beautiful old mansion, which was completely knocked down for the benefit of the raising up of this giant modernistic building, which was to be St. Peter's Seminary. So building work began on the new seminary in 1962. Now, as the future appeared so bright, it's not surprising, perhaps, that the architect chosen for the new seminary's design was also futuristic. And the building contract was awarded to a firm of architects known as Gillespie Kidden Kaya. And they had some very famous architects who designed it. And these men were influenced by the then cutting-edge European architect Le Corbusier. And these Scottish architects would go on to win awards for St. Peter's Seminary. You see, the design was so futuristic, it was so modernistic and brutalistic in terms of its execution, that it was seen as being at the cutting edge, the avant-garde of Scottish church architecture, and won lots of awards as a result. In fact, at the time, St. Peter's Seminary was unlike any other public building in Scotland. Now, this building became so famous, the building is more famous as an architectural innovation in Scotland than as a seminary. So architecture students often are brought to the remains of St. Peter's Seminary to observe it as an architectural structure. As far as I'm aware, however, and I should have maybe asked Bishop John, I'm not aware that any clerical students, any seminarians, are ever brought to St. Peter's and shown a fossil, a remains of something which is a snapshot in concrete of a period of church history. Because the acclaim that the building received from the architectural world was in direct proportion, one could argue, to the building's demise as a working seminary. You see, St. Peter's Seminary may have won many plaudits from the cognoscenti of the architectural world, but those required to live in it, the seminarians, had an altogether different perception. The west of Scotland is not like Alabama. It's very cold and very damp most of the year. And St. Peter's Seminary was very cold and very damp most of the year. In fact, the building was very, very difficult to heat. And heat, unlike air conditioning, is an absolute necessity in Scotland. But the building had other difficulties. It was prone to leaks, and it was very expensive to fix anything. I read a report that in 1967 alone, so just a couple of years after it had been opened, there were 63 leaks reported across the building. In addition, the huge concrete structure of St. Peter's Seminary was very poorly sound insulated. So sound traveled from one end of the building to the other very, very quickly. And you can imagine with a large group of men living in it, it was very difficult ever to have any quiet. By 1980, St. Peter's Seminary had tried the patience of those who ran it. And with that, the building was closed. Now, when the seminary had opened in 1966, it had a capacity for up to 100 seminarians. Remember I talked about the great hope of the future? Well, that hope never materialized. In fact, St. Peter's never experienced anywhere near that number of students. Now, those of you who know church history will know that the opening of St. Peter's coincides perfectly with the closing of Second Vatican Council. And with the closing of the Second Vatican Council, across the Western world, there was a crisis in seminaries. The crisis was that they witnessed their former high and regular intake of clerical students drop significantly. And Scotland was to be no different. So 40 years later, after its closure, St. Peter's stands idle. Its brutalist structure a weird find in the Scottish forest. Today, that former seminary is a shattered and dilapidated shell. Its interior a sad reflection on a building constructed with an optimism that proved on so many levels a disappointment. Finally, in the summer of 2020, the Archbishop of Glasgow managed to transfer the ownership of the building to a charitable trust. The new owners of the building have other plans for it now. They want to turn it into something like an arts centre or space for artists to create things. I'm not surprised, really, because the day that I was there, I took a walk around the remains of St. Peter's Seminary. And it was a very strange building. It felt almost like I was in a science fiction movie, as I said. The forest had encroached as much as it can, so the building had bits of plants and trees growing all throughout it. But the wind and the rain had continued to show the transient nature of man's designs. The place had also had lots of graffiti cast upon it and lots of petty vandalism. The world of architecture may have thought of this as a gem, but the local kids who turned up at night and drank beer and spray cans had other ideas about this place. But the saddest thing of all was as I walked around it, I could still see where the chapel was in this building. The chapel was at the very far side, and the whole building kind of orientated towards the chapel and no doubt the tabernacle at its center. The design of the nave and the sanctuary are still there to be seen, as was the high altar. But the high altar today is but a piece of concrete. And above it there isn't even a roof, just the wind and the rain lashing down upon it. And beneath what was once the high altar, one finds the strangest and perhaps saddest sight of all. You see, the chapel was built on the cusp of liturgical changes. It was a time when the architect still envisaged many priests saying private masses each morning at various altars in the crypt below. And as you descended these stone staircases littered with broken glass, there were many little altars in these side altars, and they'd all fallen into disrepair. In fact, all these altars were marked and defaced by obscene and macabre graffiti. The overall scene was a pitiful one, more science fiction than Thomas Aquinas. That day, visiting St. Peter's Seminary was not so much a trip to a place of architectural significance, although the building, even in its dilapidated state, is still perceived as such, as it was seemingly to evidence a chapter of modern church history. A visit to St. Peter's Seminary is more than anything an eschatological experience. Long after we had gone that day, we were aware that the elements will obliterate what is left, reminding us all that here we have no abiding city. So, Reid and Mike, what did you think of St. Peter's Seminary?
That's very interesting, Kevin. It definitely calls to mind the phrase dust to dust.
Doesn't it just? It really does. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. No matter what we do, nature and the wind and the rain will obliterate it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this show, really.
Unless we could fly this show to another planet and get it going there and broadcast it through that planet?
Well, we are trying to reach other worlds, new worlds, worlds as yet unknown. So we live in hope, Reid. We live in hope that somewhere this radio signal is being picked up in outer space and the aliens are on their way to Fairhope. I think you and Mike should keep an eye out.
Well, regardless, Kevin, we always have Dave, you know, to call up.
That's right. Dave will be able
to. Or
Dave
he can call us up. He's going to be our interpreter. He's going to be the guy that gets us through to the next planet, from this world to the next.
Dave, if you're listening, you've got the gig, okay? Interpreter to the aliens for us. Listen, thanks very much. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Reid, for keeping this show on the road, keeping the wheels on the wagon. Well, let's do it all again. Same time, same frequency, same Turley. And in the meantime, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. Until tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you.